Welcome to American Mosaic in VOA Special English. I'm Doug Johnson. On our show this week, we answer a question about the Marshall Plan, play music from Mary Chapin Carpenter, and report about a place that helps animals heal. Gentle Barn is a place where abused animals can find a home. Ellie Lax started Gentle Barn in 1999. Faith Lapidus has more about this special place.
Like many people, Ellie Lax loves animals. She has turned that love into an effort to save abused animals and help young people at the same time. Gentle Barn is a ranch on more than 2 hectares of land in Santa Clarita, California. It is a place where abused animals can find shelter and care. Ms. Lax has rescued 60 farm animals, including horses, cows, pigs, sheep, chickens, and turkeys. Some had been raised for food. Others were in petting zoos, where they did not receive the care they needed. All have been saved from some form of abuse. Ellie, her husband Jay Weiner, and others provide treatment and care for the animals at Gentle Barn. 20 to 30 people offer to work with the animals without pay. The animals usually grow to accept and love people, and they build close relationships with their keepers. Visitors can touch and hold animals they would normally never have a chance to see. As many as 300 visitors come to Gentle Barn each week. Most are young people, ages 4 to 18. Some are from inner city schools. Some are children with special needs. Some of the children were abused or come from families with problems. Ellie Lax says the animals provide examples for the young people that abuse can be overcome. She says young people see a different side of themselves when they are near animals. They feel they can develop a connection with an animal whose story is similar to their own. Since it opened, Gentle Barn has had more than 100,000 visitors. Ellie Lax and Jay Weiner dream of someday opening Gentle Barns all over the world. You can visit Gentle Barn and read the stories of many of the animals online at www.gentlebarn.org.
Our VOA listener question this week comes from Ghana. David Dakura asks us to explain the Marshall Plan. The Marshall Plan was part of an American policy to help Europe recover after the Second World War in the 1940s. The war had destroyed the economies of many countries in Europe. The United States and its allies were concerned that communist governments would take control of many of these countries unless they took action. First, Congress agreed to provide hundreds of millions of dollars in aid to Greece and Turkey. Then, President Truman and his advisors developed a plan to rebuild the economies of European countries. Secretary of State George Marshall, visited Europe in 1947. He was shocked by what he saw. Europe was ruined. People were cold and starving because of a lack of fuel and food, and they were starting to suffer from diseases like tuberculosis. Secretary Marshall announced his plan to the graduating class at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He promised that the United States would do whatever it is able to do to assist in the return of normal economic health in the world. Marshall Plan aid was offered to all countries in Europe. The Soviet Union and its allies refused the help, but 16 other countries welcomed the aid. The Economic Cooperation Administration of the Marshall Plan worked with these countries from 1948 until 1952. It spent $13 billion. The aid included food, fuel, raw materials, goods, loans, machines, and advisors. The Marshall Plan was a great success. It started huge economic growth in Europe. Agricultural production increased by 10%. Industrial production increased by 35%. And stronger economies helped prevent communists from gaining control of the governments in France and Italy. Some Europeans criticized the Marshall Plan. They said it increased tensions between the United States and the Soviet Union in the years after the war. Yet few people could argue that the Marshall Plan was one of the most successful international economic programs in history. George Marshall was recognized for his work in 1953 when he received the Nobel Peace Prize. For 20 years, Mary Chapin Carpenter has been making records that combine the sounds of rock, folk, and country music. Her 10th album, The Calling, is filled with warm and personal songs. A few even have a strong political message. Barbara Klein has more.
Mama's got her baby sleeping in a grocery cart. Daddy's eyes are hazy, wondering where they are. Waiting for the buses, waiting on some providence. Once we get to Houston, maybe it will all make sense. Praying to the Father and calling for the cavalry. Look at all this water, somehow not a drop to drink.
That was the song, Houston. Carpenter sings about the tragic story of Hurricane Katrina victims left homeless after the storm hit in 2005. The person in the song remembers a home and way of life that no longer exist. Mary Chapin Carpenter grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, and now lives on a farm in Virginia with her husband. She often writes songs that deal with important questions about love, beliefs, responsibility, and growing older. The words to her songs are rich with images, details, and observations. She writes about personal feelings without seeming too emotional. Here is the title song of the album, The Calling. Carpenter sings about the ways people look for and come to understand their purpose in life.
Deep in your blood, or a voice in your head, on a dark lonesome highway, it finds you instead. So certain it knows you, you can't turn away. Something or someone has found you today. Genius or Jesus, maybe he sees us, but who would believe us? I can't really say. Whatever the calling, the stumbling or falling, you follow it knowing there's no other way. There's no other way.
We close with On With The Song. Mary Chapin Carpenter honors the three female musicians of the country music band, the Dixie Chicks. The Dixie Chicks were rejected and even threatened by many listeners for criticizing the war in Iraq and President Bush. In this song, Carpenter expresses her support for the brave musicians. She calls them three little stars in a big sky who fight for what they believe in and give others hope.
This isn't for the ones who blindly follow jingoistic bumper stickers telling you to love it or leave it, and you'd better love Jesus and get out of the way of the red.
I'm Doug Johnson. I hope you enjoyed our program today. It was written by Dana DeMange, Mario Ritter, and Nancy Steinbach. Dana DeMange was our producer. To read the text of this program and download audio, go to our website, voaspecialenglish.com. Send your questions about American life to mosaic@voanews.com. Please include your full name and mailing address. Or write to American Mosaic, VOA Special English,